that we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I want to speak this evening on the closing verses there in that chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and in particular verses 13 through to 18. And these words speak to us about the comfort of Christ's return. Becoming a Christian is no guarantee that a long life will be granted to you on earth. There are those in the scriptures who were followers of Christ who didn't live for long as followers of Christ. Stephen, who appears in the book of Acts, had probably not been a believer for long before he became the first Christian martyr. And among those who were followers of Christ in the city of Thessalonica, among those who had become Christians under the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and also the work and teaching of Silas and Timothy, there were some who had lived for only a few months after they had come to faith in Christ. They heard the gospel, they believed in Christ, they followed Christ, and then very soon they were gone. And God was good to those people. God was gracious to those people. If Paul and his missionary friends had gone somewhere else other than Thessalonica, well then these people might never have heard the gospel. And they had heard the gospel. They had heard it in time, and they had believed, but soon they had died. And so it is still in these days. There are those who hear and who believe, and then not long after that, they are no longer found among the living. Well, this was a cause for concern to the believers in Thessalonica. And we find that the apostle needs to bring them comfort in regards to the concern they had for those who had believed but very soon were taken away in death. So I want to speak first of all about an unfounded concern. Sometimes you can be concerned about things and you're right to be concerned, but at other times you can be concerned and it's just you. There isn't really a problem. The problem lies in the way you see things. And here we read of an unfounded concern. The deaths of these people who had only been Christians for a short time, this was a source of concern to some of the believers in the church in Thessalonica. And the problem is mentioned in verse 13. Paul says there, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." And here Paul is writing about believers who have died. But he doesn't use that word. He doesn't talk about believers who have died. Instead, he describes these departed saints as those who have fallen asleep. And that is a picture that we're given on many occasions in the scriptures. It is a way, a form of words that is used to describe the death of God's people. It's found in the Old Testament, and it's found also in the New Testament. And it's there, and it's intended to be a comforting picture for us. It implies that death is for the believer like a rest from our labors. At the end of a day's work, you lie down and you sleep. And at the end of a believer's life, we lie down and we sleep in death. And what is implied is that as at the end of the day, when you lie down and you're tired, But you'll wake up the next morning and you'll go again. So it is for believers who die. They fall asleep, but they will wake again, and all will be well. We will wake on the other side of death. Now, what Paul senses is that the Thessalonians, they need to think properly about their fellow believers who have already entered into this sleep. And he says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. If their beliefs are wrong, they'll miss out on the comfort that should be theirs. If they're not thinking correctly, they'll be carrying around a sorrow in their heart, which is the very opposite of what they should have in their heart. It's not fitting for one believer to be feeling sorry about the death of a fellow believer. And so Paul says that we're not to be those who sorrow as others who have no hope. And he's referring there to mourning for the death of unbelievers. When a person who is a stranger to Christ dies, there is no hope. The day of hope is gone. When someone in Thessalonica who was a follower of a false god died, well, that was an occasion for hopelessness. But that wasn't the case when a believer in Christ died. Now, Paul doesn't mean that it's wrong for us to feel grief in our hearts when a fellow believer dies. That's natural. That's the way it is, and that's the way it's meant to be. But it is wrong for us to mourn as if the person who has died has experienced loss, or as if that person has somehow missed out on something that would have been good for them. One commentator on this portion mentions that one place where the difference between the despair of death on the one hand and the hope of death on the other hand are seen in very close proximity was in that great city of Rome. And in New Testament times in Rome, you had all the great fancy streets and buildings on the surface, but there was a whole lot of people who lived underground in the catacombs. And in Rome, along a great thoroughfare called the Appian Way, many of the famous and wealthy people of Rome were buried. And there was no hope in the inscriptions that were there on their tombs. And meanwhile, underground and out of sight, many Christian believers had lived there. That was the only place they had. And in their places that marked where they were buried, the writer says there were exultant notes of hope in all the ill-written, ill-spelled inscriptions. Exultant notes of hope. Here believers had lived, and here believers had died. And for them, there was something better than they had known in this world. For believers, there is hope regarding our departed fellow believers. A hope that makes all the difference. And this is what Paul writes of in verses 14 to 17. So I want to think then about the comfort that is needed. Verses 14 to 17. The Thessalonians were fearing that believers who died before the return of the Lord Jesus, that they would be at some disadvantage compared to those who would still be alive when Christ returned. And Paul seeks to bring them comfort in this matter and to show them there's no need to be concerned. And so he writes about what will happen at the return of the Lord Jesus. And he's not here trying to tell us everything and explain everything, but he is focusing on what was relevant for that particular concern that the Thessalonians had. They're thinking of their departed fellow believers, and they're concerned about them. Paul here doesn't really say anything about unbelievers, apart from what he says in verse 13, that for them there is no hope. His focus is on those believers in Christ who have already died. And let's note some of the things that he says here in these verses, the various strands of comfort that he brings in what he writes. First of all, consider what he says in verse 14 about what happens to Jesus and what happens to disciples of Jesus. Notice the difference that there is in verse 14 between what Paul says about the death of Jesus and what he says about the death of his followers. He says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." In the scriptures, believers who die, they fall asleep. It is unbelievers who die. Unbelievers don't fall asleep. They die. But what happens to the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus died. Our Savior didn't fall asleep. It's his followers. For them, death is simply a matter of falling asleep. But for Jesus, he died. He tasted the death that is the wages of sin. He tasted it in all its horror. Jesus knows what it is to die, but he dies so that his people will simply have to fall asleep. We won't have to experience what he experienced for us. Jesus died and he rose again, but his followers will fall asleep to rise again. So Jesus died, believers sleep, and there was comfort in that. Then also, there is comfort that Jesus will come with his people. Verse 14, when the Lord Jesus returns on that great final day, he will not come alone. Paul gives the assurance in verse 14 that he will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Those who have died in Christ go immediately into his presence. Their bodies sleep the sleep of death, awaiting the resurrection, but their souls do not sleep. Those who have died in the Lord will not miss out in any way in the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will come with him. They will see things from a different perspective because they will be with the Lord in his coming. So Jesus will come not on his own, but with his people. Those who have died, they will come with Christ when he returns. Then another thing in which Paul seeks to give comfort is in verse 15, and he is emphasizing here in this verse that there will be no head start for living believers. He writes to convince his readers that the Christians still alive at the return of Christ will not have an advantage over those who have already died in the Lord. And so he says, "For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Those loved ones who have already died in Christ, they will not miss out. The word precede here means to come before. It means to get a head start on someone else. And Paul is saying that the living will not get a head start on those who have already died in Christ. There is no need to worry. There is no disadvantage in having died before the return of the Lord Jesus. That's what they were worried about. He says there's no need to worry about that. Then another line of assurance is that Paul is teaching that all believers will meet the Lord in the air. Verses 16 and 17. These verses deal with the fact that there will be a difference in the experience of dead believers and living believers. There's a different experience, but there's a common destination. We get a little bit of information about the drama of Christ's return. We're told that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And those words are intended to convey something that is stunning. The return of Christ will be an utterly remarkable event. It will not be some little side issue. It won't be the case that there'll be anybody who won't notice the return of the Lord Jesus. Everyone's attention will be caught by the return of the Lord when he comes with his people. And the Lord will come to claim his people for himself. And he comes to claim both the living and the dead. And in order that the dead will be on an equal basis with the living, the bodies of those who have died need to be raised to new life, and body and soul needs to be reunited. And therefore, Paul says, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The Lord will raise his people from the dead. He brings them with him, and the soul that he brings with him is reunited with the body that is raised from the grave. And we're told that these resurrected believers, that they are caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And that is clearly implied from what Paul says in verse 17. Those who have died are raised up with Christ. And he says, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And the emphasis in what Paul is writing there is that all believers will share this common experience of being caught up, whether they're living or whether they're resurrected. There is this sudden catching up of people, being caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And that is something that there are all sorts of strange beliefs around about that. It's commonly described as the rapture. But what Paul is stressing here is for the comfort of the Thessalonians. And he is stressing that all believers will be with the Lord in his coming. All believers. It's not just some believers that will be with Christ when he comes down to earth. All believers will be with him. And then in verse 17, there is the further comfort that all believers will continue with the Lord. This reunion with Christ is not just a temporary thing, but Paul says, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. In this place, he's not describing where we will be when we are always with the Lord. That wasn't the issue. The important thing in what he's writing is to give this assurance that all believers will continue to be together with the Lord Jesus. Where he will be, there his people will be also. One writer puts it like this. He says, the entire content and worth of heaven, the entire blessedness of life eternal, is for Paul embraced in the one thought of being united with Jesus, his Savior and Lord. All believers continuing forever with the Lord. No one disadvantaged, no one missing out, no one left behind. Doesn't matter if you die a week after you believe. It doesn't matter if you die in the 1st century or the 12th century or the 21st century. It doesn't matter if you're still alive when Christ comes. The truth is that the Lord will be with his people forever. And these things are to comfort believers who are still alive. And so these are the things that we need to believe and we need to hold to. And finally, just think on the fact that this comfort is comfort that is to be shared. Verse 18, Paul says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. These words are God's words. God is telling us here what the future holds for every believer. He doesn't tell us if we're going to be among those who are still alive when Christ comes, or if we're going to die before Christ comes, but he tells us that all is well, whichever group we may be among. And these words are words that do give comfort. And we're told that we are to comfort one another. We're to reassure one another with these words, with these truths. These are the kind of things that we need to know. These are the things that we need to believe. And we need to encourage one another with these truths. When we lose loved ones, we need to believe that this is the truth about them. Those who have followed Christ and have already died, they will come with him in glory. They will not miss out on anything. And it is in God's word that we find real comfort. There are many empty and meaningless words that people can say sometimes at funerals. But when it's a believer that has died, there is a hope that's real. There is a comfort that is a true comfort. There's something other than just wishful thinking. There's something greater than thinking that the person's physical suffering has come to an end. And we're instructed to comfort one another with these kind of words, with these kind of beliefs, with this understanding that this is the way it is for believers who die in Christ. We're to encourage one another with these truths. They're not just meant for us personally, but they're meant for others. That we can remind others, this is the way it is. And for those who are in mourning, for those whose hearts are heavy because of the loss of loved ones, these truths are the things that they need to believe and hold on to. Perhaps many of you have particular words of Scripture that have been a help to you in times of loss. When you have lost loved ones, loved ones that are Christians but who were precious to you, and there are particular words in the scriptures that are comforting words. Well, that's what these words were given for. Recently, Robert Robb's mother died when Robert was out in Serbia on the Go Relief team, and it reminded me of my own experience that my mother died when I was in Scotland, and I didn't know at the time if I would get back to see her before she died, but I didn't. And I recall at my mother's funeral that someone who spoke to me, I was saying how I was sorry that I hadn't got to see my mother before she died. And he wisely reminded me that I would see my mother again. And that was a simple statement of biblical truth. And that was the kind of thing that I needed to tell myself and that I needed to believe. And I needed to look ahead to what was certain rather than looking back to something that I couldn't change. I could do nothing about the way things had worked out, but I could take comfort from the way things will work out. And the simple statement of truth from God's word can be a real help in times of mourning. I remember a man I visited when I was in Scotland. He didn't belong to my congregation, but he lived not too far from where we lived. And he was an older man. He was a widower. His wife had died several years earlier. And he was still in the habit that every day he would go to her grave and he would spend a considerable period of time there at her grave. And in that man, there was a terrible loneliness and a terrible hopelessness. And it was a very sad experience. He was sorrowing as someone who had no hope. And God does not want us to be like that concerning Christians that he has taken to be with himself. They are the recipients of that most blessed hope. There's nothing better that can happen to someone than that they go to be with the Lord. That's what we need to remind ourselves. When our loved ones, who are Christians, are taken from among us, but they're taken to be with him, we need to remind ourselves that they have not lost. They have gained. For all who are in Christ, to die is gain. And none of these Thessalonian Christians who had died a short time after becoming believers, none of them had lost. None of them had missed out. They were with the Lord, and they would come with the Lord when the Lord returned. And so Paul says, comfort one another with these words. Put biblical truth into the words of comfort that you seek to convey. When it is a believer that has died, there is comfort. There is hope. And these are the kind of words that we need to hold on to at such times. So may God help us to know this comfort for ourselves whenever we feel that inevitable sadness at the loss of loved ones. But when we have this to hold on to, then we have hope and we can look forward to what is definitely going to happen. We cannot change the past. We can't do anything about the things that we didn't get to say, the things that we didn't get to do. Those things will all be forgotten when Jesus Christ returns in his glory with his saints in all their glory. No one will be talking about regrets and what we didn't get to say, what we didn't get to do. It will all be a thoroughly different situation. Let us find comfort in thinking of the coming of Christ with his people. Amen.